How many of you are glad to be here today? Okay, that's good. I was hoping I'd get kind of a big amen on that one, and I did. That's good. Isn't it just good to worship the Lord? Come on, if you're feeling down, you know, everything around you just seems to be caving in. If you can't seem to figure things out, are you with me? And if you're feeling full of stress, worship is the way to put things into a proper perspective. It really is. It's the only time that I know of where you can lift someone else up and in turn get lifted up yourself. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Worship is not about you, but it certainly benefits you. Amen. Amen. It's good to see everybody this morning, whether you're here sitting in the pews or there sitting wherever and watching it on TV, all right? Just good to have you with us. This morning, we're in part two of what I began to call a two-part series last week, but now I'm going to call it a however many part series, okay? But it's called The Wonder of the Word. Last week, we talked about the word inspiration, if you remember, that Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And just to recap a little bit of what we learned last week, we learned that the Word of God is pretty special, okay? It not only conveys God's intellectual message to you and I, but it also contains God's heart to you and I. The power that's in the Word, the same pneuma power that went into the Word, that originally created the universe and continues to sustain the universe, still is working inside the written word today. He didn't inspire the word and then leave the word. Come on. And that same power is still upholding the word and empowering the word to be just as strong as the day that it was written, when God breathed upon the divinely inspired writers of the Bible. It was and is, okay? And it's important that we understand that it is. But it was and is God's own breath, all right, that caused his word to come into being in the first place. And now it's his own presence, his own truth, his own breath, and his own, if you remember the balloon example, okay, it's his own molecules, if you will, that are permanently held inside the word of God, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm saying, but I'm going to also tell you what I'm not saying. First, I'm going to tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying this is a chant book. Amen. And you can grab a verse out of it and just say it and it's going to happen, all right? There's something about faith that's got to be mixed in there, all right? There's something about the word having to go from the written word to the rhema word, the alive word that's inside of you, that you speak it and it can happen. Are you with me this morning? But I want you to know that God didn't just inspire the words within the Bible. God himself is in the Bible. His heart, his life force, his essence, his power, his energy, and his vitality are contained within the Word of God. And I guess just to put it in a statement, the Bible doesn't just contain God's words. The Bible contains the God of the Word. Amen? Amen. The Bible doesn't just contain God's words. The Bible contains the God of the Word. Amen? Amen. This week, we're going to look at the remainder of 2 Timothy 3:16, and we're not going to get all the way through it. I thought we were, but we're not. But let's begin today with our Bible declaration. So if you would stand with me, please, we will begin. Take your Bible in hand. Boy, it is really quiet in here. Is it the time change?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, really. Well, let's beat the time change. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. With Jesus, you can beat any victory or any trouble. Today, the trouble is the time change. All right? So now, have we beaten it? It doesn't sound like it. Jesus can do anything, right? So have we beaten the time change?
Yeah.
Amen. I thought so. It's not good to lie in the house of God. All right. Raise your Bible and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Why don't you be seated? And I have just a couple of questions for you to consider as we get started this morning. Are you ready? Well, the first one is this, okay? When you read your Bible, do you take time to ponder the truths that you read in the Bible so that you can apply them to your daily life? I mean, do you think about them and roll them over in your mind? Do you ponder them? Or do you just leave them in your prayer closet until the next time that you go in? That's something that a lot of us do, all right? Do you think that the Word of God can speak to you today? Okay. As it did in the days when it was written, or do you view it as an antiquated book that contains, well, yeah, maybe some snippets of wisdom, and we can kind of go by what it says, but you know, it really isn't up to date. What do you think about the Bible? Do you feel it is the alive Word of God? Amen. Amen. There's life in the Word of God. Come on, people, there's life in the Word of God. All right. Gary Timmer, would you come up and pray?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray today, God, as Pastor West preaches your word, that his words, God, will be alive to us. Father, just as your word is, just as the Bible is, God, living word. Father, I thank you that we can't help but be changed as we take in your word today. God, I pray that we would not just be hearers only, but that we'd be doers. Father, this message today wouldn't be just one and done and that we'd walk away, but Father, that we would be changed. Lord, have your way in this place today, God. Father, I thank you for giving us the energy that we need to pay attention, to wake up, God, to be alert, to respond to your word, to respond to the words that Pastor West preaches, Lord. Just energize this place today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. And amen. Thank you, Gary. I know how you feel, okay? I was, laying there in bed at midnight, and I suddenly realized it's 1 o'clock. And then I realized right behind that I'm getting up in 3 hours. So then I went to sleep. And then I woke up 5 minutes before my alarm. What a ripoff. I mean, I thought I would at least sleep till the alarm, but I woke up before the alarm and all the aches and pains in my aging body made me get up, all right? All right. But I know how you feel, sort of. Last week, when we brought the message to a close, we had an altar call, as many times we do. And it was about making a commitment to God and try and read your Bible every day. Okay? That's what it was basically about. In fact, if I remember it right, almost the whole church came forward to be a part of a prayer to make that happen in their lives. How many of you believe in prayer?
Amen.
Amen. And then the prayer that was prayed was that you would become more consistent in your Bible reading so that you would grow closer to get to know God, are you with me, and his principles for life and his promises that are yours as a child of his. And there's only one way you'll find out, excuse me, is by reading the Bible. And also, The prayer was to become effective, if you will, in the battle against the powers of darkness that come against believers every day, all the time, without fail. And I really hope that there has been a difference in your Bible reading for those who came forward. There's only one thing that I really should have told you that I didn't. I thought about it, rolled it over in my mind, and then I didn't say anything. I should have told you that it was going to take an on purpose pressing from you personally to obtain that goal. Are you with me? So often, as it is with many of the victories that God brings in our lives, God will meet you when and where you begin. Did you get that? God will meet you when and where you begin, instead of meeting you when and where he begins. There's a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? He meets you where you start and when you start. He doesn't meet you if you don't start. But when we make that on-purpose decision, along with his on-purpose divine power, it spells out life-changing victory for you and I. Amen? Life-changing. See, when we respond to God's word, he responds to his word. Amen? Come on. His word never returns to him void. So that means that the word that we stand on, whatever we're standing on, it's going to happen. Amen? Are you with me? You know, there's something I think that we all have to remember, because I think it happens so much as we mature, if you can use those words. It happens so much as we are in the Lord longer and longer and longer. Sometimes I can't help but think we act more maturely when we first come to the Lord than we do when we are in the Lord for a long time. But what we have to remember is that there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. It contains God. It contains his thoughts, his processes. Do you hear me? Okay. There's nothing more important than the Word of God. And I know it to be true. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to help you form this habit, then we can finally get some of the victory in our lives. I don't know about you, but there are things that I fight that I'm still trying to get the victory over. Amen? And I know that if I would just handle them according to the Word of God, I would already have the victory. In fact, that's why people say, you've already got the victory. It's already won for you because it already says it in the Word. And I also know this to be true. You and I become empowered to retain that victory if we continue to read the Bible that led us to that victory. And that, I'm going to say that again because this is so, so important. I've said this so many times. I'm going to say it just one more time until the next time I say it. Meeting with a guy in my office, he said to me, I said something to him about, well, do you read the Bible every day? And he said, well, I've read it. You know, and that's funny in some ways, but in other ways, it's so sad that there would be that mentality that reading from Genesis through Revelation, that you would have it all down. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, he didn't have a photographic memory, so that wasn't the issue. All right, but he thought that reading it once was going to be enough. But you and I will become empowered to retain the victory that we got from God if we continue to read the Bible that led us to that victory. And when believers make the habit, okay, of including the reading and studying of God's word in their everyday religious routine. You know, we talked about that a long time ago, about the religious routine, about how important it was that we had some kind of a religious routine. Reading your Bible and praying every day, come on, and giving and things like that, though, that should be a religious routine. That should be something that we do religiously every day, all the time. Amen? But that inclusion of the word, if you will positively affect every part of your life. I'm talking about every part of your life. It'll affect your friendships. It'll affect your relationship with your spouse. Come on. It'll affect your relationship with your coworkers and your boss. And I don't know about That's good news. That is just good news. Unfortunately, there is also a negative side to this, okay? There's a negative side. Conversely, when as a Christian you begin to neglect the reading of God's word and you fail to include it in your everyday life, that neglect will in turn negatively affect every part of your life. And that's the truth. We say, well, me reading my Bible sure can't have anything to do with how I'm getting along with the people at work. Yes, it can. Well, me not reading my Bible anymore sure can't. That doesn't mean anything between my spouse and I. It really does. Because the regular absence, say absence, the regular absence of God's word from your life will first of all jeopardize and endanger your faith. It will. That absence, again, now it will steal your joy. That absence will steal your victory. In fact, I'm being so positive today. In fact, ignoring the daily reading of the Bible, okay, will affect your ability to be spiritually productive and will eventually make you spiritually infertile, if you will, and spiritually unproductive. Are you with me? Please turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16, and we will read verses 16 and 17. Just wave at me when you get there. Just wave at me if you're going to look up here. Okay. I just love this scripture. This is one of those scriptures that you kind of memorize without meaning to memorize. It just comes back. I think that's because the Holy Spirit brings it back to remembrance because it's so important. All right, verse 16. All, say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love this. I love what it says in verse 17 especially, that it is possible for me to be equipped for everything that comes my way. Come on. That I can be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God would call me to do. And maybe I would say, oh, God, I can't do that, but this tells me that I can do it because I'm going to be equipped for every, amen, say every good work. This is a scripture that we began to take apart last week as we learned that God is still within his word today, okay? He's still within his word today. I don't know about you, but that just kind of changes things. You know, it just kind of changes the way I view the word. It just kind of changes how I treat it. But now this morning, we're going to start to look at the benefits of God's word that the Apostle Paul listed in that same passage. All right. I happen to believe, okay, that once we really understand the advantage that the Word of God gives to you and I in our everyday life, that is if you take time to ponder it, when you take time to read it, when you take time to study it, you know what? When you're reading your Bible, if you have a question about something, it's not wrong to use Google to find out what it means. All right? Well, you can say, but I don't have my three chapters in yet. That doesn't matter. Okay? When something just comes out at you, look it up, study it. God's trying to speak to you. Anyway, when we understand this, I believe that you're going to become more and more passionate about protecting your personal time with the Lord, your devotional time, your Bible reading time. How many of you know this to be true, all right? That when you sit down to read the Bible, guess what? Many times, this happens to me anyway, many times what happens, people suddenly decide to text you. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's not the devil. Not only do they begin to text you, but they call you. And that's okay, but do you know what happens after those things are interjected in your personal time? You're distracted. And you don't want to be distracted when you're reading. I'm not saying don't call me, you know. Call me, for heaven's sake. If you need to call me, call me. But that does happen, and it happens not only to me, but it happens to you too. Maybe not at 4 in the morning, but 5 in the morning, whatever. We have to understand this about Bible reading and study time. If you don't do it on purpose, you won't do it at all. Oh, I didn't feel moved by God today. I don't know when the last time was I felt moved by God to read my Bible in the morning. I just do it, okay? It's just part of my life. It's just something that I'm religious about doing. Oh, God, don't let me mess that up now, okay, now that I've said that to you. But if you don't do it on purpose, you won't do it at all. Paul mentions 4 different ways that the Bible is profitable to you and I, all right? It's profitable in many other ways, but these are the 4 that he focused upon. He says that it's profitable, the Bible is profitable for doctrine. Oh boy, that's religious stuff, man. For reproof, for correction. How many of you love correction? Don't lie. And it also says that the Bible is profitable for instruction in righteousness, and I think we all know that. You know, we know what to do. We know how to act. We know how to approach God, right? We meet Jesus in the Bible. But let's look into these 4 things, okay? First, Paul states that the Bible is profitable for doctrine. The word profitable is translated from the Greek word ophelimos, okay? The definition of this word includes the idea of something that is needful or, now, how do you pronounce this, okay? Obligatory or obligatory? Obligatory? Needful or obligatory, okay? Much like a debt that is owed to someone, okay? It is needful, okay? It's an obligation. And it can be translated as the word indebted also, referring to something that is mandatory and essential or an absolute requirement. And by using this word, Paul is telling us something very important about the Word of God. He's telling us that the Word of God, God's Word, is not an option in our lives. Well, now, I understand and I realize that there are times that you will have something come up and you won't be able to read the Word that day in the morning or whatever. But I want you to know, don't be discouraged by that. Just jump back into it the next day, all right? You know, the Holy Spirit, God, they don't bring condemnation, all right? They may bring conviction into your life, but they'll never condemn you. Amen? Amen. Amen. But the Word is mandatory, it's essential, and an absolute requirement for us. Then Paul connected the word profitable to the word doctrine, okay, which is a Greek word didaskalia, which is the word for doctrine that's used in the New Testament to denote the things that we affirm and believe to be true. That's what doctrine is, what we affirm and believe to be true. Unfortunately, many churches don't agree, and that's why we have so many denominations. But what is truly amazing is this, and it kind of gives me a sick feeling in my stomach when I see a believer react like this. Sometimes believers roll their eyes at the mention of the word doctrine, thinking doctrine is something that is man-made and stuffy and unimportant and religious. I mean, my goodness, that R word. But they think it's religious, if you will, and they view it as something that is totally unnecessary. We don't need that doctrine of man, you know. It's completely unimportant. But that kind of thinking, all right, that kind of thinking only serves to show how uninformed they are regarding the importance of doctrine, because nothing could be further from the truth. Our doctrine is the very foundation of what we believe. Come on, people. Our doctrine is at the very foundation of what we believe. What is my doctrine? Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead and now I'm forgiven. Amen? Amen. That's part of my doctrine. Our doctrine impacts what we think. It affects the way we view the world. It does. It determines what we believe is right or wrong. Doctrine intimately guides us in life. It tells us our next step. It determines our convictions and our standards. How many of you know that we have to have standards? Grace is grace, but if you try to live a Christian life without standards, it doesn't matter how many times you say grace. And it affects all of our actions and activities in this life. That's what doctrine does. In short, you and I are the product of our doctrine. We are. We stick to our doctrine in the morning when we get up. We think about our doctrine throughout the day. We especially express our doctrine when we come here on a Sunday morning. Doctrine is just important. And as it turns out, what the Bible is saying here is doctrine is mandatory and doctrine is essential. It is obligatory, if you will. And doctrine is an absolute requirement, a complete necessity to ensure that our lives are based and built on the Bible. It's also very important to point out that the word profitable, which is translated from the Greek word ophelimos, was originally a word that was used in connection with the law. All right? So just like we have to obey laws, we are obligated to live by the law. Okay, not the law like the Old Testament. You and I as believers have to live our lives with the Bible as our guidebook, come on, and our law for life. Are you with me this morning? Or is law such a four-letter word that I can't use it today? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? It's our guidebook, our law for life, if you will. Obeying it absolutely or to the best of our ability. That's what a Christian is. See, a Christian is never finished. We're all just a work in progress because when we find out more in the Word, maybe more that we should or shouldn't do or whatever, then we have to change. And we obey it absolutely and to the best of our ability. If we take this approach toward the Bible, the power of God's Word will be released in and through our lives, causing us to profit in every realm that we exist. Now, again, are you following me this morning? This is not a chant book. This is not a spell book. This is not something that you can take a portion out of and speak it over a person and they will blow up and burn or something like that. Okay? But it's important. Okay, it is important that we derive our doctrine from here. Doctrine is and always will be at the very foundation of what we believe because it is what we believe. Amen. So where should we get our doctrine? The assemblies of God, right? Well, thank God it lines up with this, okay? We get our doctrine from the Bible. And nowhere else. If somebody tries to force something on you that is not written in this word, then throw it away. Amen? Amen? Amen. So doctrine is important. The Bible is profitable for doctrine. Okay? Next, Paul writes that the word of God is also profitable for reproof. Reproof. The word reproof isn't a word that we use very often today. I reproof you. Never mind. But the word reproof in Greek is the word elengmos, okay? And it is found nowhere else in the entire New Testament but here. All right? In the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, it translates the word elengmos as conviction. Okay, conviction. Remember that. And it means this, that when God's word shines into our lives, its glorious and brilliant light is so bright that it exposes every dark area that remains and has taken up residence in our soul and in our minds. How many of you know this morning that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, not everything in your life was exactly good, okay? And not everything that wasn't good was gone. It still was there. In other words, you still had a ways to go, and that hooks with what I just said. You know, we as Christians are always moving towards a goal. Our goal is God, amen? And our goal is to become more like God. But when we got saved, everything wasn't perfect. There was still areas where God's light hadn't shone, okay? I remember I did a guy's funeral one time, and it was just tough. My first funeral. And this guy died drunk, okay, in a car accident. You know what I mean? And so I was going to preach his funeral, okay? I was going to do that. And I couldn't make peace with what had happened in his life. And was I going to put him in heaven, by my words, or was I going to put him in hell? Well, you know, I was the one who, the night that he got in the accident, that he prayed with on the phone. Okay? All of the areas of his life weren't cleaned up. But I have to believe. Amen? I have to believe that he made it. And then the final song of the funeral was, but what was it? It's by Bob Seger. Oh, Night Moves by Bob Seger. Could use a few Browns. I wonder what that is, right? But what I'm saying is there were areas where God's light hadn't shone yet in his life. All right? There's areas where God's light hasn't shone in your life. You know, you might think that you've come a long ways, and you probably have, and I know I have, but, you know, the fact still remains I have just as far, if not farther, to go. There are still areas that need renewing in my life. There are still areas that need to be touched by God. Amen. But glory be to God, as the light of God's word shines in our darkness and begins to bring light into our hearts and our lives, okay, and our minds, we are reproved, if you will, and we are corrected, and we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit? You know, there's a big difference between being convicted and being condemned. Condemnation gives you no energy at all to try to make it right. Conviction makes you understand that you've just maybe hurt the heart of God, and you know that you don't ever want to do that again. And you're encouraged to change. You're encouraged to be different. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings into our life, the light, the shining, if you will, of God's word. And as a result, that darkness that is within us has to flee. Glory be to God. When his word shines into our heart, that darkness that might be hiding in whatever corner it may be, that darkness has to flee. And it has to yield to the light of the word of God. So then that we are no longer in darkness in that area. Glory to God. That should make you excited this morning that God's word can do that much, that the reading of God's word can do that much for you. Amen. And me. And we're changed, right? I love it. And we're changed as our minds are renewed to think correctly. Ephesians 4:23. Does anyone know that by heart? Yeah. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's such a key verse in Ephesians. I remember when we did the series in Ephesians that lasted 2.5 years. If you think I do long series now, that lasted 2.5 years. That was one of the key verses. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Say that with me. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what does that verse mean? What does the verse really mean? You know, sometimes we think we know what a verse means when we read over it, but when we really think about it, we realize we can't explain it. But it means that we have to get the world's way of thinking, come on, the world's way of thinking out of us, all right? And replace the worldly thinking with spiritual thinking. Amen? Oh, come on. You know, when certain things happen to me and I have a worldly perspective on what happened, I want to go and take revenge. I want to take care of it. I, you know. But Jesus, God, says the battle is whose? That means who is the battle not? It's not mine. It's not yours. It's God's. So when I have a worldly way of thinking, I want to go and take care of that person, okay? But when I have a spiritual way of thinking, I know that I can just sit back and let God do what he does. How many of you know that God does what he does better than anything that you could do? Amen. All right? Amen. Amen. But we have to get that worldly way of thinking out of our minds. How many of you would say that since you met Jesus, that you think differently? Amen? You think differently. Because you know that there's hope for your hopeless situations. Are we still going to go through hopeless situations? Yes. But you know there's hope. Right? Right. Right, Wes. Good preaching. See, there's peace for your panic. No matter what you're going through, there's peace through God. Do you understand? And he gives you this peace that just doesn't seem to, there's no way you can understand it. It's a peace that overwhelms you. And then you just plain know that there's relief for everything that you went through or that you're going through. Isaiah 61:3 says it best. He gave us beauty for ashes. Glory to God. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. How many of you need to get lubed up this morning? Amen. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What a key sentence, phrase, portion of a verse is that? The garment of praise for the, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling low, when you're highly stressed, what we talked about at the beginning of this message, okay? What should you do? Put on the garment of praise. Get it on you. Get it around you. Let it be the only thing that's coming out of your mouth. And it will change you and change your outlook. But you put the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness. I love trees. Trees are rooted. Amen? Most trees, not all, but most trees you can't just push over. Right? That we might be called trees of righteousness. And then the planting of the Lord. You know who made you that way? God. God. And why did he do it? That he might be glorified. Those good things that happen in your life glorify God. Are you with me? Those times that you stand in the battle, that glorifies God. Those times when you respond spiritually rather than in the flesh, that glorifies God, okay? Anytime you take the spiritual option over the worldly options, you glorify God. So as we are reproved, we benefit. Amen? It's profitable, in other words. It's profitable. Paul went on to write that the word of God is profitable for correction, okay? Profitable for correction to be brought into our lives. But wait a minute. Isn't the word reproof that we just talked about the same as correction? And I think I'm going to stop here till next week. I love doing that. The thing of it is, I have been hearing this all week, okay? How sometimes less is more and more is less. In other words, I can give you the rest of the sermon, but I would bet you wouldn't remember one of the things I talked about. Where if I give you less of this sermon, you'll at least remember the couple of things that I talked about. Are you with me? Yes. Good. All right. So I'm going to stop right here. I don't want to fill you with so much information that you don't remember any of it. Next week, we will find out what the difference is between reproof and correction. I just want to close with this, okay? I'm not trying to find something within this word that is just way out somewhere and impossible to understand. I want you to understand that what's within this word for you is life. It's your Christian life. It's how you're going to survive. Amen? I remember when our son passed away. And this must not be a good day to talk about it. And the Lord spoke to Serena. And I don't know quite where it is, so you got to let me look for it just a minute. Which verse is it? Yeah. Okay. Verse 5. He grabbed this verse. God, the Holy Spirit, took this verse out of the Bible and planted it in Serena's heart. We had been up all night. All right? All night. And he was gone. And we were facing life without him. And God gave this to Serena. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. What? Just at the break of dawn. What did that do? For you guys, maybe do nothing. But we realized that at the break of dawn, there was going to be some strength. Do you understand what I mean? We were in a hopeless situation. And the Word of God spoke into it in such a way that it would even say, at the break of dawn, at the break of dawn, I'm going to help you. And he did, and he does every day. And my emotions is not because I just miss him, okay? Okay? But the Word of God has that power. It has that power for you and for me, and it has that power for anyone who will seek God and read his Word and study his Word. God could not have brought that verse back to remembrance if it wasn't remembered in the first place from a time when she was reading. So I encourage you this morning. I encourage you. I realize sometimes you just don't feel like reading the Word. Can I say that? You just don't feel like it. But do it anyway. Amen. Do it anyway. You don't know when you're going to need that Word later on in the day. Come on, people. Amen. Because God will help you. And that right early, even at the break of dawn. Amen? Amen. 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 Next week we'll find out the difference between reproof and correction. Why don't you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the Word. Thank you for the Word that contains your intellectual message. Thank you for the Word that actually contains you. Thank you, God, that you breathed upon man and gave him the ability to divinely write your Bible so that we would have something to read and understand and derive our power from. God, I'm thankful for your promises today. I'm thankful, God, for all of the precepts that are in your Word. And I thank you, God, most of all, and Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing back to remembrance those things which we have read in the past. And there is no help like the Most High's help. It is complete. It's never ending. God, I thank you. And Lord, I pray right now, God, as we're closing this service, and as we're thinking about what was said, I pray that each one of us would have more of a passion for our prayer time, for our reading time, our devotional time, more want to where reading the Bible is concerned, more want to where studying the Bible is concerned. And I pray, God, I can pray this for me, but I do pray it for everyone, God, that we would be students of the Word. And that as we're students of the Word, we become teachers of the Word. Nothing closes the mouth of the devil quicker and better than the Word of God. God, I pray you'd bring it back to our mind. God, I pray that as we read it, we would remember it. I pray, God, that we wouldn't be in a hurry to get through it, but God, that we would try to get everything that we could out of the passage that we are reading, or the chapter, or the book. God, you are showing us that there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. As we stand before the Lord with our heads bowed in an attitude of prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stand if you want. If this message is at least touching you in some way, now I've gotten you all to stand, so that's good. But if this message is really making a difference in your life, or is going to make a difference, would you please wave at me? Thank you. Thank you. Please let it. Please let it. Please let this message do more than just gather dust in a notebook that you'll never open again. Please let this message sink into you. Last week's message, this week's message, next week's message, maybe the next week's message.